Well, this man is no relation, but I like to claim him as a relation all the time.
Boy, wouldn't you?
As we continue here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Mike Rowe is here, and he's one of my favorites, one of my favorite performers, radio personalities, television personalities, podcast personality, and now author, Mike. Now an author. What were the chances of that? When you were in school as a kid, did you think one day you would have a book?
When I was in school as a kid, I was told that if you go back far enough, we're all related. So why don't we just consider ourselves brothers from other mothers?
All right, we can do it that way. That's all right.
Sure.
So,
But no, to answer your question, maybe a pop-up, but no, I never really thought about writing an actual book.
So the way I heard it, True Tales and the Curious Mind with a Short Attention Span by Mike Rowe, that basically does describe the whole
thing.
What
a great title.
Because your podcast, a lot of this is based on things that you've done in your podcast, because you do short stories, and there are a lot, some of them, it's partial memoir, some of it are other kinds of stories that you pick up. Very Paul Harvey-esque, right?
Well, he was the guy, you know. There were four or five people 30, 40 years ago doing most of the storytelling, and Paul Harvey had a great way. Well, you know, I mean, geez, he's Chicago. He's a Chicago guy. So finding a way to make history interesting and biography interesting requires a mystery. And so these are short stories where the reader gets to figure out who I'm talking about, hopefully before I get to the end. But look, that's the podcast, which, not to brag, but man, they just called me. Well, this happened because they called 6 months ago, my producer, and said, dude, you have 100 million downloads. Do yourself a favor and, like, write a book. So we put a bunch of my favorite stories together, and we were going to put some hardback covers on it when my mother said, Michael, this is very lazy. You really should do something in between your stories about other famous people you've never met to let the reader know something about yourself. The next thing I knew, I'm writing an accidental memoir that's basically interrupted by true-ish stories of these famous people who I never met but who have always been interested in. And that's the book. It's a thing, and it was a heck of a thing. Everybody should write a book, guys. You'll learn things about yourself you wish you didn't know.
Well, I would think that there would be something that sort of you just want to pull your hair out, because you're thinking about, you write about yourself. What do you start? What do you bring in? What, you know, the whole process would be sort of intimidating. I realize that some of yours came from your podcast, though. You drew upon that, but then you had to sort of round it out. Did it take a long time to do?
It took a while. It wasn't that it took a long time. It's that it really forced me to think about things I haven't thought about in a very long time. My resume, as we've discussed in the past, is kind of a hot mess of really weird and random things. So what I tried to do was tell stories of jobs that I've had over the years that somehow rhyme or relate to the stories I tell of some of the famous people that are in the book. So it goes back and forth between biography and autobiography, mystery and memoir. But it's a useful thing to do. Everybody should really look back 20, 30 years at the job where you learned something, truly learned something that wound up being valuable, but you didn't really think would be at the time. That fundamentally is what the book is.
What was yours?
Well, around 3 a.m. on the QVC cable shopping channel between the years of 1989 to 1992, I sat there doing my best impersonation of a host on live television, trying to make sense of the craziest list of products you can imagine. And, you know, I learned everything I needed to know about the TV business selling crap in the middle of the night on QVC.
It was
weird, tragic, funny, and most of my mistakes are somehow chronicled today on YouTube. And, you know, when you can't outrun your past, you might as well write about it. So,
right.
I'm doing
true.
That.
Embrace it.
That's true. Now, I mean, now we can't. I mean, social media doesn't allow you, and YouTube and other things don't allow you to outrun your past if you have had a public life. And even if you've had a private life, you know, people get jammed up in this. So, all right, what was the stupidest thing that you had to sell as you were in your prep, because you guys were going to a prep meeting, you know, before the show? Here are the things that you're going to have to sell. Was there one where you're in the prep and you're like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this?
Well, sure. Except for the fact that I never went to a prep meeting.
oh boy.
Yeah, I mean, I never should have been hired. I was singing in the opera when I heard that they were in Baltimore looking for hosts. And I went just to settle a bet. I bet a bartender buddy that I couldn't get a that I could get a call back. So I talked about a pencil for 8 minutes, got hired, and then they literally put me on the air in the middle of the night with no training and said, look, we just want to watch and see how you do with products you've never seen before. And the very first product I got was something called the Health Team Infrared Pain Reliever that would purportedly blast rays of infrared light into your arthritic knuckles, thereby bringing a new sense of relief. So I thought it was a joke. I mean, I honestly thought it looked like something that the claw on the carnival midway pulls out of the machine, you know? And I'm...
Or and doesn't.
So I picked this thing up. True story. I looked right in the lens and I said, hi, everybody. I'm Mike. I'm the new guy. I don't know what this thing is. If you're home, look, it's three in the morning. It's just us. All we have are each other. Do me a favor. Call the number on the screen and explain to me what the hell this thing does. Well, we were overwhelmed with calls. Not people giving testimonials, but people who just were willing to do my job for me. And so I sat there literally for 3 hours between 3 and 6 a.m. taking phone calls from people and letting them sell whatever the product was. And that was the beginning of my misspent career. And ever since, I've tried to take that lesson, which is, look, if you don't know what you're doing, it's best to admit it. Let somebody else do it for you.
Yeah,
that's, well, being honest with yourself, right? Knowing who you are. And that's the hardest part, I think, of becoming an adult, or becoming a functioning adult, I suppose, is it's a, and some people, you know, are functioning, they still don't fully understand who they are, but the closer you get to that micro, the better off you're going to be. And I think that's one of the things that makes you such an appealing television personality, you know, podcast host, author now, is that you make people calm because they figure you kind of know what you're doing. And really, if something broke, you'd probably fix it.
Well, I want to ask you about that because people do know you from Dirty Jobs, of course, and, you know, Deadliest Catch, you narrated as well. But are you handy? Because I've heard that you might not be.
No, I'm not. And
oh, God, don't say that. Don't say that.
I know. Well, listen, but look, it goes right to your point, right? Everybody who looks at Dirty Jobs assumes I can pour a foundation, build a house, you know, construct a bridge, whatever. I can't. My grandfather could. My pop could literally build a house without a blueprint. But the handy gene is recessive. And it literally went right over me. But Dirty Jobs was a tribute to my pop. My mother actually called me. I was working for CBS back in the 90s. And she said, Michael, you know, your grandfather's 90. It would be so awesome if he could turn on the TV before he dies and see you doing something that looked like work. And I'm like, geez, Mom, that's harsh. But of course, she was right. So I started this idea of being an apprentice instead of a host. That's where Dirty Jobs came from. And once it got on the air, the thing that really saved my bacon was I didn't have to pretend to know anything I didn't. As an apprentice, you show up and you take orders and you try and keep up. And so that was the role that got me to where I wanted to go. But that job required the lesson that I learned in the middle of the night at QVC 20 years earlier with the Health Team Infrared Pain Reliever. When in doubt, let somebody else do it.
Yeah. I like the lawyers who are going to have to represent that product for years and years and years afterwards.
What an experience.
Your mom sounds like a really interesting figure in your life because she seems to be the one that's provoking you to try to do more and better and get off your ass. Do I have that right?
That's exactly correct. Somewhere between Betty White and Joan Rivers and America's grandmother is my mom, who herself became a best-selling author last year when I read a story she wrote me. My mom's been writing me stories for 30 years. I read one and posted it on my Facebook page, and it was downloaded and viewed 70 million times. So my mother, yeah, crazy. My mom wound up with a book deal, And then all my friends and my business partner was like, dude, your mother wrote a book and she's 80. Maybe you could get off your ass and write a book too.
How's that for motivation?
Honestly, look, never underestimate the enduring power of shame. That's exactly what it is. You know, if an 80-year-old grandmother can do it, what in the world is my excuse?
That's true. Although you do, you know, it's not like you're lacking for work, Micro. I gotta say, you know, you're one of those guys that people in our business go, well, he got all the jobs. You are basically Michael Strahan in a hard hat, is essentially what you are. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I like to stay busy, and because I have a short attention span disorder, you know, I don't like to do the same thing over and over if I can help it, but I also try and stay in my lane, and my lane is I'm an avatar. I'm a cipher. I'm really not an expert at anything at all, but I somehow Forrest Gumped my way into this place of apprenticeship, and you know, that works in podcast, and it works in TV. It works in radio too. It works. Yeah. It works in life, really. And so that's kind of, if I figured out anything, it's not to get ahead of your skis and you know, tell the truth as best you can. And if there's a punchline, don't be afraid to be it. Be the punchline.
That's true. Because it actually feels really good to make fun of yourself. I have found that to be the case because everybody else is making fun of me. I'm just getting ahead of them. That's the way I'm looking at it.
You have to take out the punchline before.
All right. So you're going to be in Chicago on Monday. You're actually going to be at the Wentz Concert Hall, the campus of North Central College in Naperville. And for $32, people can come in and they can get a copy of the book and they can, it's a night of storytelling there as well, right?
Here's how crazy things are. I forgot about that. I'm in New York right now in the back of an SUV sitting outside of a bar called Elgin. I'm about to go inside, interview somebody for something, and then I'm going over to do Tucker Carlson. I completely forgot. I'm sure somebody would have reminded me. But, Chicago, Monday night.
Yes.
Naperville. I'll be there.
Okay. Now, for the $32... you tell the story. Now, do you get the book with the $32? You got to buy the book extra. I just need to know the answer to that.
For $32, here's what I do.
Yeah.
I do the entire book in interpretive dance on the stage.
I know from your opera days. I know this is how that goes.
He's a performer. Mike, sounds like your mom's a tell it like it is kind of woman. What does she say about the book?
Well, she's brutal. In fact, the reason the book exists is because my first instinct was to simply take the more popular stories from the podcast and put them together into a collection. And she said, oh, Michael, what an amazingly lazy approach to literature. And I'm like, okay. So it was her idea to say, look, I know you don't want to write a memoir, but tell people why you wrote about the people you wrote about, and it'll be much better. So right now, it's just all about I Told You So. She literally called a half hour earlier to tell me that very thing. So the best thing that's happened to me as a result of all of this is really the chance to work with my mom, you know, help her with her book. She helps me with mine. And kidding aside, look, to be 82 years old and become a first time best-selling author, that's some pretty high cotton. I'm really proud of her, and I'll be lucky to follow in her footsteps.
That's awesome.
You're a good son, Mike Rowe. You don't have to send her anything for Mother's Day. All right, here we go. The Way I Heard It, True Tales for the Curious Mind with a Short Attention Span by Mike Rowe. MikeRowe.com, of course, it's ROWE. That's what bifurcates us. That's the difference in spelling.
There's a W in there.
Yes, I know. Thanks. All right, we will talk to you again soon. Thank you so much for doing this. Appreciate it.
And of course, you get a book with the $32. Of course, you do.
That is
all right. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Thanks, Mike.
All right, there you go. It's Micro. Let's check in now. Lauren Lapko, what's happening on the roadways?